Well, I do want to wish all the moms a very happy Mother's Day. As we shared with the guys in Sunday school class today, this is a special day for me because it was 40 years today that I entered the ministry on Mother's Day. So, it's just the second time around without my own mom. And so she's getting to enjoy all of her reward now, and well-deserving. I want you to take a look at Genesis chapter 13. We're continuing in our study of the series called The Beginning and the End. And today we're going to talk about dangerous decisions. Genesis 13, beginning in verse 5. And the Lord, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right, I'll go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. As I told you, I'm going to talk about dangerous decisions today because your life is nothing but the sum total of the decisions that you make. We're going to see that Lot made some terrible decisions. And we're going to see how those decisions not only affected his life, but the lives of those that he loved. Now, this story is actually a contrast between Abram and Lot. And for our purposes today, we know him as Abraham, is going to represent the spiritual man, and Lot's going to represent the carnal man. Now, if you don't know what carnal is, think of chili con carne. Chili with meat, flesh. A carnal man is a fleshly man. Okay? So that's the illustration we have today. Lot is Abraham's nephew. Now, Abraham, when he went from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, he took Lot with him. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to leave all his family behind, but he took Lot anyway. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, it tells us that Lot was a saved man. And I'm telling you that now because when we read this story, you're going to be hard-pressed to try to figure that Lot was a saved man. He seems like anything but. But as we saw the last time that we were in Genesis, Abraham and Lot came out of Egypt with sheep plus cattle. Now, they get back home, there's not enough grass to support all these cattle. And God had already given the land to Abraham, and he has a right, if he wants to tell Lot to scram. But Abraham has such a great spirit that he comes to Lot and he says, "Look, we're brothers. We serve the same God. It's not going to do for us to be arguing before all these pagans in the land. And so you choose what direction you want to go. I'll go the other direction." So Lot looks out across the well-watered plains of Jordan. He sees that knee-high grass, and he can just imagine his cattle being sleek and well-fed out there on that lush grass. And so based on materialism alone, he pitches his tent toward Sodom. Now, the first thing I want you to see is that this was a selfish choice that Lot made. Verse 11 says, Lot chose him. Lot chose him. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about Abraham. He wasn't thinking about his family. He just chose for himself. He was more interested in gold than he was in God. He was more interested in cattle than he was his children. He was more interested in fortune than he was his family. So Lot chose him. Now, Sodom was a terrible place to raise a family. But Lot didn't care that the place was exceedingly wicked, and he sees that succulent grass, and he heads straight for it. It was a selfish choice, and one of the marks of carnality is this idea of me first. The carnal person takes Christ off the throne of their lives and puts self on the throne. It was also a small choice. Notice the phrasing in verse 10. It says that this plain was like the garden. It's referring to the Garden of Eden. So it was like the garden. And it was like Egypt. And we learned last time that Egypt is just a typology of sin and the world. And Lot had his appetite whetted for Egypt when he went down there with Abram. He wasn't supposed to be there in the first place, but he goes down there and this is what happens. So when he looks out on the well-watered plains of Jordan, he says, man, here's a little bit of Egypt. Here's a little bit of Eden. You see, the carnal man tries to live in both worlds, Egypt and Eden. He wants to take God in one hand. He wants to take the world in the other hand. And he's thinking, you know, I won't move all the way into Sodom. I'll just live in the suburbs. So he probably has this conversation with Mrs. Lot. And he says, what would you think about pitching our tent towards Sodom? And she thinks about it a moment. She says, well, you know, the kids could go to Sodom High. They have a very good school there. They have great shopping. We could hitch up the chariot and be there, nothing flat. And it's not like we're moving all the way into Sodom. We'll just move to the borderlines of sin. We'll have our Eden and our Egypt at the same time. It was a self choice, it was a small choice, and it was a short-sighted choice. Before long, they haven't just moved towards Sodom, they're into Sodom. And if you look over in Genesis 19, verse 1, you're going to see Lot's now sitting in the gates of the city. That means that he's a city councilman. He hadn't just pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's now a vital part of Sodom life. And you know that's the way it is with sin. A small thing ends up being a big thing. He thought he could live in the suburbs of sin and get by with it. But you know, you can never judge a situation by what it is. You have to judge a situation by where it's going to take you, where it's going to lead to. Lot thought it was a small thing, but it wasn't. And the time to deal with sin is when it first rears its ugly head. I'm reminded of Winston Churchill, who was looking at communism, and he said communism should have been strangled at its birth, and that's true. But we let little sins become big ones. There's a little limerick that says, who is it knocks so loud? A lonely little sin. Slip through, I said, and soon all hell was in. That's the way it works. We've seen Lot's selfish choice. Now we want to look at Lot's character. When God wants to know what your character is like, he gives you a test. Those tests can come in all kinds of examples. For example, here, after a storm passes through, I mean, we've had this recently. As a matter of fact, when we were leaving Caleb's neighborhood this morning, I saw a tree that had been chopped up in the yard, and I looked over at the trunk, and it had been ripped off of the trunk. You know, you can look at a tree like that after a storm passes, and you might examine that tree a little closer, and you might see that it has a rotten heart. Well, you know, if you couldn't see it on the outside because the tree looked perfectly normal, but if you'd had x-ray vision, you could have looked in there and seen that the heart was rotten. And the storm didn't cause the rottenness. It just revealed it. God will send a test or a crisis in your life, which is going to precipitate a choice of some sort. And your choice is going to reveal to God and the world what your character is like. God's examining you right now. You're going to make some choices today. And the way you make those choices, quite frankly, is going to determine your destiny as a Christian. The decision Lot made so graphically reveals the weakness of his character. But there's not only his choice and his character revealed by that choice, there's also Lot's calamity that came because of his choice. You know, at first there didn't seem to be any calamity. I mean, we would have looked over the situation and we would have said, you know, Lot, you're a successful dude. You know, here you are in the city council of Sodom. You got this beautiful home, you got money in Sodom First National Bank, and you're a member of First Church of Sodom Heights, and you know, you're doing all right. But in the eyes of the Lord, he was an abject failure. Look at Genesis 19. I'm almost embarrassed to read it because of the way that Lot failed God, but God is so fed up with sexual perversion and wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah, he sends two angels to warn Lot to flee that city. And when they appear to Lot, the perverts in Sodom actually wanted to commit homosexual acts with these angels. Lot brings them into the house, but the perverts are outside. Let us in! Let us in! I want you to listen to this sorry excuse for a Christian. He says in Genesis 19:7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Makes me want to throw up. He calls these filthy Sodomites brethren. And then he says in verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray thee, you bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes. He was going to sacrifice his two virgin daughters on the altar of these perverts' lust. And then he says, only unto these men, talking about the angels, do nothing. Therefore they came under the shadow of my roof, and they say, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to soldier, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. I told you at the beginning, it'd be hard for you to imagine that Lot was actually a Christian after reading this sordid story. And we've only seen a little bit of it. Lot had become such a part of Sodom, and he had sunk so low, and he'd made so many terrible decisions, he couldn't even make a righteous decision anymore. Lot's mind's been so warped and twisted by sin that he's now willing to sacrifice his daughters to the perversion of these Sodomites. How could this happen? Friend, if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, sin will warp your mind. There are three persons sitting in the seat where you are this morning. There's a person who you are. There's the person that you could be for God. And there's the person that you could be for evil. And I doubt that there's a person in this room today that actually realizes the propensity for evil that lies in your heart. You say, oh, I'm past all that in my Christian walk. Friend, if you take your eyes off of the Lord, you're going to start making some seemingly small decisions that will appall you, and you will be appalled at the things that you do. You can read about a man by the name of Hazael in 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 12 through 13. It was prophesied of him that he would commit heinous atrocities by ripping a pregnant woman open. You know what Hazael said? He said, but what? Is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? He said, I'd never do such a thing. Well, guess what? He did it. You have no idea, friend, how deep into sin you can go. It doesn't matter if you're Sunday school. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher. If you take your eyes off the Lord Jesus, there is absolutely no limit to the depths to which you can sink. David was called a man after God's own heart, but we know about the wickedness that got into his heart. And you know what? In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You say, "Oh, I'd never do that." You're puffed up with pride. You don't know how far you can fall. And I'm amazed that the Bible tells us that Lot was a saved man. What a horrible story this is. But Lot lost his ability to see the difference between right and wrong. And now God begins to send judgment. In Genesis 19 and verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." God left that city in smoking ruins to tell us what he thinks about sexual perversion. And then in verse 25, "And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." And then in verses 35 and 36, "And they that made their and they talking about his daughters in this case, "they made their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father." Now Lot's daughters have committed an incestuous encounter with their father. You know, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if he could have found just 50 righteous people in those cities. He couldn't even find 10. So God calls Lot out of the city, and the angels practically have to drag Lot out. He's still looking over his possessions, his bank account. He's still bidding his perverted friends goodbye. And the angel has to say in verse 22, "Lot, haste out of this city." And if you know the story, then you know Lot's wife looked back. I think that's what the Sunday school lesson was about this morning, right? Looking back. God told her not to, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now Lot's living in a cave with two of his daughters. These are the daughters that he wanted to be so sophisticated. Now they're pregnant from an incestuous relationship. What a horrible story. Here's a man who just pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's why I said don't measure a thing by where it is, but by where it'll take you. I'd rather be a brand new baby Christian headed in the right direction than to be a more mature Christian who's turned around and headed in the wrong direction. Suppose we could interview Lot this morning. Lot, you lived in Sodom for 20 years. You had money and prestige and position and power. Tell us, Lot, were you happy? Did you have joy in your heart? I believe with all my heart, he'd say, "Brother Gary, be perfectly honest with you, I was miserable for 20 years. You say, "Well, how do you know he was miserable?" Well, because God's word tells me he was miserable. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For that righteous man," talking about Lot, "dwelling among them," talking about the Sodomites, "in seeing and hearing," in other words, what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, "vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds." They're unlawful deeds. Every day he'd get up and see what was going on. It just stung him in his heart. 20 years. He's a vexed man. And that's the same word in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, where it speaks of those who are in hell being tormented. That's the way Lot fell. In other words, he's a child of God, but life for him is hell on earth for 20 years. See, the most miserable man on earth is not a lost man. The most miserable man on earth is a saved man that's out of fellowship with God. The most miserable man is the Christian who's playing footsie with Sodom. When God saves you, he doesn't make it so you can't sin anymore. He just makes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. A carnal Christian is not a joyful Christian. And if you can hobnob with Sodom, and if you can live in the suburbs of sin, and if you can fellowship with Sodomites, and if the things of this world don't vex you, then quite frankly, you have never been saved. Lot, how much influence did you have down there in Sodom? Lot, some folks think you can get chummy with the world in order to win them to Christ. They kind of believe in a cocktail evangelism. They swap their dirty stories and sip their beer. And then they invite their friends to church, thinking, you know, he'll come to church if he sees I'm just a regular sort of guy. How many did you win, Lot? 1,000? No. 100? No. 50? No. He lived there for 20 years. Never won a single soul to Christ. His influence was a complete failure. Well, you say you were never happy and you didn't have any influence over the lost. Well, what kind of influence did you have over your own family, Lot? I can see his chin begin to quiver. I can see tears start to fill his eyes. As he says, Brother Gary, I was such a fool. I've lost my daughters. They married Sodomites. When I went to warn them that God was going to destroy the city, they laughed at me and called me a religious fanatic. Even the daughters I did manage to get out of the city were so corrupt that some very terrible things happened. My wife turned to a pillar of salt rather than a pillar of Sodomite society. I don't have a cent to my name. And as soon as Lot gets out of the city, God rains fire and brimstone on that city. The Bible tells us that carnal Christians will face the judgment of God, and their life is going to go up in flames like wood, hay, and stubble. The Bible says they'll be saved, but yet so as by fire. And Sodom, Lot, that's a good example of that. Everything Lot lived for and schemed for, it's all gone. But you know what? Abraham didn't lose it all. After Abraham told Lot to go in whatever direction he wanted to go, God appeared to Abraham again in the 13th chapter of Genesis. And he told Abraham, he says, I want you to look in every direction. And Abraham, it's all yours, even the part that Lot took. Friend, it pays to serve Jesus. Abraham is still a possessor of that land because God gave it to him. As little kids, we learned the phrase, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Oh, that's completely wrong. The Bible teaches the opposite of that, finders, weepers, losers, keepers. Jesus himself said in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will lose his life, or save his life, shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. Friend, you need to watch carefully the decisions that you make. Deal with sin the very moment it rears its ugly head. Don't let sin have an inroad into your life. If you do, you're going to lose it all, just like Lot did. Our musicians are going to come. And I want you to consider, if you've never repented, that means turned away from your sin. If you've never repented and given your life to Jesus, I want you to do it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Judge yourself. That means recognize and acknowledge what God says is true, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Okay. The only way you can be saved is by the grace of God. There's not anything that you personally can do to get into heaven. All you can do is lay your life at the feet of Jesus and plead his blood. Have you done that? If you haven't, you got an opportunity to do it right now. And like I've told you over and over and over and over again, when you leave this place today, you're either going to walk out that door under the blood or you're going to be trampling it under your feet. There's no middle ground. Which is it going to be? What are we going to sing, Brian?
191.
Let's stand. If you need to make that decision, you come as we sing.
I've decided to follow.
Mother's Day for those moms, and I'll try to get you out of here quickly so you can get to dinner or wherever you're headed. So would you bow with me as we close? Father, we again thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to worship you, to praise your name, to just fellowship with each other as well, Lord, and lift each other up. Lord, as the preacher spoke this morning, just help us to make the right decisions. Help us to understand the effect of those decisions, not only on ourselves, but on the effect of others as well, Lord. Please help us to not be that tree that he spoke of that has a rotten core that when the storms come, just break us down. So help us to be full of you and full of your spirit, Lord, so that others can see us, see you in us, Lord, as we go out into this world. So, Lord, just as we praise your name and we study your word, just help us to not look back to our failures, but to look forward to successes, Lord, and what you can do in our lives if we just get out of the way and let you do it. So as we close, we ask that as we part, keep everybody safe and bring those who are sick back to us healed, Lord. And just again, we thank you and we love you, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Bond of love, we are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit. us join our